Today we will hear the pastimes of Lord Jagannath. From two transcendental personalities who personally participate in those pastimes. We have amongst us today two brothers. Balaram and Jagannath. And following in their footsteps, two of their servant brothers. Their hearts are so one in the loving service of Sri Sri Radha Madhava that they even look the same. Please stand up. Lord Chaitanya is, through these two brothers, giving the most practical demonstration of a Chintya Beda Beda type. Inconceivably, simultaneously, one and different. These two brothers have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Gaudadesh. Like the sun and the moon, to bestow wonderful blessings upon all. They have been faithfully serving the deities of Sri Radha Madhava, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Narasingha Dev, Panchatattva, Astasakis, for the past approximately 30 years. To remain in this movement is difficult enough. Back in 1966, when some people left, Prabhupada said, "Do not be surprised who leaves the movement. Be surprised who stays." Because it is the age of Kali. But within this movement, to remain faithful and steady to one particular service year after year after year is utterly against the current of Kali Yuga. It takes complete dedication, total control of the mind and senses. These two brothers have faithfully, without even considering a change of service, remain faithful to Prabhupada's instruction in Tantavan to be pujaris at Sri Mayapur Dham. And for those of you who may know the history, the ISKCON Chandrudaya Mandir has gone through many ups and downs, many different stormy weather experiences over the years. But there's one thing that everyone within our society worldwide knows, that something never changes. One thing that never changes is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Srimati Radharani is His eternal beloved consort. Another thing that never changes is Krishna is always within His holy name, revealing all of His opulences to those who chant offenselessly. Another thing that never changes is Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangari Prabhu's loyal devotional service to Srila Prabhupada in Sri Mayapur Dham. Another thing that never changes is Jananivas Prabhu and Pankajangari Prabhu's loyal devotional service to Srila Prabhupada in Sri Mayapur town. They're very humble. They like to stay in the background. But sometimes when the kirtan becomes filled with bhakti, all of their humility and their shyness flies to a distant place. And their true qualities of ecstatic madmen is revealed to the world. Let us very, very loudly and enthusiastically offer our gratitude to these two great brothers for being with us today by chanting Hari Bol. This time, loudly, please. Now we are about to begin a joy of voyage into the innermost chambers of the spiritual world. Jananivas Prabhu will now tell the history of this place.
Jai Jagannath Swami ki.
Jai.
Kaladev Sipadu Maharani ki.
Jai.
Gaur Bhakti Vrind ki.
Jai.
Of course, this is an eternal place, Sri Navadvip Dham. Begin history at a certain point in eternality. So concerning the present presiding deities here, Sri Jagannath Balaram Subhadra Maharani, they eternally reside here, but sometimes they become manifest and sometimes unmanifest. There is a story, an ancient history from Shastra, which even the Pandas in Puri accept. That is why they also come here and respect this place is also non-different than Jagannath Puri. And Jagannath eternally resides here. During that period, there was one demon, his name was Raktabahu. And he was causing a lot of disturbance in the state of Orissa. Finally he was killed. But Jagannath, on the plea of leaving that place for safety, he asked his pujaris to take him away. So they put Jagannath on a boat and they come up the Bay of Bengal and to the mouth of the Ganga, and they was bringing Jagannath to the in the Ganga. They arrived at Navadvip and they were all amazed at the beauty of this place, and they said, let's stop here, this place is so enchanting. So they stopped here and they brought Jagannath to a village which is about 1 mile from here. The village now is called Shonodanga. And they established their village there and worshipped Jagannath. The name of that village was Shabaradanga. You may know from the history of King Indrajumna that it was King Bishwavasu from the Shabara tribe in the early leader of Lila Madhava. And later there was tribe, even today they still worship Jagannath during the Snan Yatra and the period that he is sick. And during the Rath Yatra also. So they carried him here, and they named their village after them, the Shabara Danga, the village of the Shabaras. And here they worship Jagannath in secret. Because at that time it was also there was oppression here. And after that the history was lost. So he appeared at that time and then disappeared by his sweet will. And again, 500 years ago, Jagannath made an appearance. Actually, he made two appearances here. I'm not sure if it's exactly the same Jagannath or not. But one time, Lord Shiva was taking bath at the Shiva Ghat on the Ganga just before Mahaprabhu's birthplace. And he saw one wood was floating past. But he understood, I can feel transcendence emanating from this wood. This is not ordinary wood, this is Daru Brahman. So immediately he grabbed that log and pulled it on onto the shore. At that time, Devi came, Parvati Devi came, and she said, I just had a wonderful dream. Jagannath said he's going to appear. He said, yes, this is Jagannath. He just appeared. So they took him to here, they took to Sri Dharanga. Jagannath had a desire to come here. And he told his pandas that, please take me to Navadvip. Because it was very nice during Indradyumna's time. It was very nice. I so much enjoyed these pastimes and the devotion of the devotees. But now he said, all my devotees are in Navadvip. I'm very much anxious to go there. So you please take me there. And the Pandas said, well, it's so difficult to take you there. How we can take you? And this is your place. So Jagannath said, if you don't take me, I'll go myself. So he jumped into the ocean and he floated up the Ganga until he came to Shiva Ghat. By the time then all of his paint had washed off and everything, so Lord Shiva couldn't recognize him at first. But anyway, they finally brought him to Shiva Ashangam. And just at that time, Mahaprabhu happened to come with all the devotees doing Sankirtan to Srivashangam. They arrived there, and immediately Mahaprabhu said, Jagannath has come, Daru Brahman is here, he's here. So they had a big kirtan, succumbent made in Jagannath, an ecstatic kirtan. After that, there was no history of what happened to Jagannath. But anyway, shortly after that, on this sacred land here, was one devotee of Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His name was Jagadish Ganguly. And with the rest of the devotees of Gauranga, every year they would go to Rath Yatra to see Jagannath. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left Navadvip, taken sannyas, and was living in Puri, then the whole of Bengal went, because he was their life and soul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also there. So everybody would go by walking. So in his old age, Jagadish Ganguly became blind. And when time for Rath Yatra come, he was ready, but nobody would take him. They said, we cannot take you. How we can take you? You're blind. We're walking across through forests, through fields, broken paths. How we can take you there? So difficult. You have been many times. You should be satisfied. And Jagadish Ganguly said, I cannot be satisfied if I don't see my Lord anymore. Tomorrow morning when I take my bath in Ganga, I will end my life. It's not worth living if I cannot see my Lord anymore. So that night, Jagannath appeared to him in a dream. He said, why do you want to commit suicide? He said, don't you know, this very place you are staying is my eternal abode? This actually is no different than Jagannath Puri. Tomorrow morning when you take your bath, I will come at the Ganga and I will touch your body. Just like Gopinathji yesterday. He was hearing the story. Gopinathji came and touched the body of Govinda Ghosh. And Govinda Ghosh will go with some piece of firewood. So he threw it on the bank for later on. But here he told him, no, I'm going to Jagannath. He said, I will come and I will touch your body. So exactly that happened. And upon touching his body, Jagannath's eyes became opened and he could see again. So Jagannath had instructed him to take him to a certain village, to this certain carpenter and have his form made. So they found this carpenter, and this carpenter was a leper. And he said, how I can make a form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Because all my hands, there's sores on my hands, it's improper for me, it'll be very impure to touch the form of the deity. And so he refused to do it. So he said, there's other carpenters you can visit. So they took it to another carpenter and said, then you should make this. So again, another carpenter started to make the form of Jagannath, but every time they would hit the chisel would break. They would get another one, the hammer would break. They would get another one, that would break. And they thought, this is Jagannath, doesn't want me to make this. So again, they went back to the original carpenter and they said, you are claiming to be Jagannath's servant. So if you're really his servant, that means you follow his orders. And he ordered you to do it. So you should do it, if you claim to be his servant. So he said, if that's Jagannath's desire, then I should do it. So then he made the form, which we see here now. And upon completion of this form, all of his leprosy disappeared from his body. Jagannath Swami ki. And very shortly after that, again, Jagannath spoke to Jagadish Ganguly that nearby is one neem tree. You please take that tree and you make my brother Balaram and my sister Subhadra, you put by my side and you can worship us here. Jagannath Swami ki. Some brief history. When Jagannath is installed, appears one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not have to take birth again. So if you don't want to take birth again, you may listen to Panga Jangri Prabhu speaking the activities of the Supreme Personality of God.
And if you hear with an open heart the words of Krishna's pastimes, activities, entourage, those words will enter the heart and kick the false ego a very, very long distance and leave the place fertile for bhakti. That is the potency of shravanam, shravanam kirtanam. So from, as Chaitanya Prabhu was saying, from time to time the deity shows himself, and then by his sweet will he removes himself from our vision. So about 60 years ago, the Lord had been, because you know Mayapur was flooded after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, for about 100 years. So all those sacred places were covered, all the demarcations were gone, and in the future, as we see now, they are being recovered, and in the future more will be recovered, discovered, or revealed. It mentions after the new temple is built, when the great Chanda temple of the Vedic planetarium, which Prabhupada has named, when that rises, when that manifests, then Yoga Maya will start to reveal many more places which are unknown to us at the moment. So this time, about 60 years ago, one young boy was passing, and as he was, the temple was over there. There's a big peepal tree and a banyan tree mixed, like the we saw the champa and the neem. This one is considered like Shiva Parvati. Underneath that tree, there is a lingam. Is worshipped as some people worship as Devi. I think others worship as Shiv. So he was walking in the evening. He was walking down this road. He was going to Navadip, to his uncle's house. He was about 14 years old at that time. Then as he passed by, then a bamboo tree crashed in front of him, his path. And he was very frightened, very uncanny presence there. He was scared, so he thought it must be the work of some Buddha, some ghost, because bamboo trees don't do that normally. They don't crash to the ground in front of you. And he was thinking, if I step over that tree, then he will catch me. So he became very, very frightened, and almost he knelt down and almost became unconscious. But then he heard a reassuring voice saying, after some time, "It's okay. You can go now. There's no trouble. You can go now." So he was very suspicious. This voice appeared from somewhere. So he said, "Why did you do that to me?" He said, "I didn't do it. I saved you. I'm your friend." He said, "Well, if you're my friend, why don't you take me to help me get to Navadvipa if I want to go to my uncle's house?" He said, "Then I felt myself being lifted and taken down the road all the way to the Ghat and across the Ganges, no boat, and outside my uncle's house." A few days later, that voice came to him again and said, this is Lord Jagannath. Because they actually knew that temple. They discovered the temple a little while before. They heard some voice calling the local people, "Please help us. Please feed us, we are hungry. Please feed us, we are hungry. We haven't had anything to eat for a long time, please." And following that, they cut through the jungle and they found this temple. But they never actually worshipped the deities, but they know this location, but nobody was offering any puja. So then Jagannath said that, "I wish that my worship be started again, and I want you to do. You can offer me some milk and Ganges water." So he became very happy, and he started to worship the deity. He wanted to dedicate his whole life, but his family wouldn't let him because he was the eldest son. But they let him. They said, "On Tuesday you can worship." So he began to worship Tuesday. But he collected donations and started to repair the place. The deities were actually half buried in a termite nest. Termites eat everything combustible within a radius of about 20 feet. They eat anything, but Jagannath's body, transcendental body, was practically untouched. So he started to patch it up and made a fence. Then after that was done, he began to worship the deity very simply. After some time, he said the local people didn't give him any more donations. Now he had established. So he went to Lord Jagannath and said, "Prabhu, that if you want me to continue worship, you'll have to make some arrangement because I haven't any more money." He said from that day on, when he went into the temple, there was just enough Lakshmi for the day's puja. On the side of the altar there was a few rupees there every day. Sorry, that was the second time. The first time he went to Mass, he asked, there was no money. That night was a big storm, and the two big branches of the tree fell down, huge branches. So he said he sold them for firewood, and that lasted a couple of months. Then that was the second incident. This boy is still around, Jaimini Ghosh, old man. Some people don't take the stories that he says very seriously, but he was the actual person to that Jagannath spoke to, a real temple. Because another time he told us that he was sleeping outside the temple, and he woke up and he found himself in Puri, and it was Rathi Yatra. So he was very happy to attend the festival. But after a couple of days, then he thinks my parents are going to be complete anxiety because they don't know where I am, and he didn't have any money to come back. So he went to the pandas, Jagannath's servants in Puri, and told them of his dilemma. I have to get back to Bengal, but I didn't have any money. So when he explained the story, how he got here, then they said, well, you go to the temple, Jagannath sir, he brought you here, he can take you back. He said he went to pray to Lord Jagannath that day, and in the morning, when he woke up, he found himself back in Simandadip. Transcendental voyage. And another time, a man was going to Puri. Another man was going to Puri, and he was on the train going to Calcutta to catch the train, the Puri train express. And he was passing here. The train passes nearby to Calcutta, and he was sleeping on the train. Then the Lord appeared in the dream and said to him, why are you going all the way to Puri? You don't have to go so far, you don't know. I reside very close to by here. You just got off at the train, down at the next station, and you can see me here. So he woke up, and then the train was just pulling to a station, so he just jumped off, and there's a little station, some little grassy patch, they call the station, Madhupur. So he got up there, and then he asked the people, is Jagannath temple here? Oh yes, yes, a couple of kilometers here. So then he came and offered his worship here. So by this we can understand that the Lord is not different from the deity in Puri, and this place is not different from Nilchal Jagannath. Everything is here in the Dham in a more essential form as far as we're concerned, because here it's very easily available. Realization is very easily available if one simply goes on, visits these places with an open heart, then one can have this same benediction very, very, very quickly and very, very easily. Jai Sri Madhava Dham Ki Jai.
One time some people from a nearby village here, they wanted to worship Lord Jagannath. So they were told, why you want to get a new deity? There's one in Srimantadeep, nobody's looking after him. You can take that deity. Oh, that's okay. So they came and we kidnapped Jagannath. And they were taking him across the back to their village, and all of a sudden they wanted to answer the call of nature. There's four men. So they put Jagannath down and they relieved themselves. Then again they went to carry Jagannath back to their village, but they finally couldn't move him. He was very heavy. They were struggling, they couldn't lift. So they went back to their village and they brought more men. Some strong men. And again they tried to lift. They couldn't lift Jagannath. So they went back and got more. There were 13 men. And they all lifted Jagannath. Or they tried. But they couldn't lift. So they realized that we have our desires and the Lord has his desire. So they came back to the area like this. This means Ma Kali did this when she chose on Shola Shiva, right? I made a big mistake. So they all walked into the village like this. We made a big, big mistake. Kindly forgive us for our offenses. And your Jagannath is sitting out there in the field. You please come and take him. So then two men went and picked up Jagannath and brought him back. See, there's many fruit trees here, mango trees, jackfruit trees, lychee. And in the season, then the farmers, they guard the trees because people will come and take the fruits. So the guard was sitting up the tree because there's many snakes also here. So at night. And then he saw in the dead of night, someone was approaching from the distance. So he was coming and, hey, who are you? Where are you going? And he said, the man didn't stop. He didn't say, didn't do it. He said, but he wasn't just locum. He was very respectably dressed. He wasn't just a farmer, you know, in the middle of the fields. He's very respectable. And he didn't even pay any attention to the guard. But he said, and then he left. He came across and he entered into the place where Jagannath's temple was. And then he saw light come through the windows of Jagannath temple. Then bells are ringing. And scents were coming. And then a kirtan started going on. A huge kirtan was going on. For some time. Then it finished. And the bell stopped. And the scent disappeared. And the lights went off. And he didn't see anyone at all after that. So although Jagannath may not seemingly be worshipped by the human species, somehow or another his devotees don't forget Jagannath and will come and worship him, whoever they may have been. Jagannath Swami ki. One time there was an epidemic in the area, and Jagannath said to his devotee, why no one is coming to the temple to see me anymore? And Pujari said, you know, no, there's an epidemic. And it's very, very serious. The whole area, people are dying. Jagannath said, oh, my village also? Yes, yes, many people are being struck down with this epidemic. He says, you give them this medicine. This will cure that. He said, what is that? He said, yes, you take this tree. He gave him the name of the tree and he said, you can extract that bark, you take the juices from that bark, you drink that. He said, we don't have that tree in this locality. This is the medicine. He said, you take that. So, next morning he woke up and he thought, what a wonderful dream I had. But this tree also we don't have in this area. So he didn't consider so much the tree, or he didn't really know what to do about it. Anyway, later on in the day, one little boy appeared here, and he was dragging a big branch behind him. And he said, Mataji, I bought this wood for your husband. He wanted some wood. My husband wanted wood. I didn't know about that. Anyway, you can bring to the house. It's in the house. Come with me. So she went to the house, she said, Swami, one small boy is there dragging some wood. He said, you wanted some wood? I said, wood? I didn't ask for any wood. Let's go and see. So he went outside and the wood was there. Little boy was not there. And he looked, oh, this is the tree that Jagannath said. We must take this. This is the medicine we need to cure everybody. So they took that, made a medicine, the whole village again became free from the epidemic. Jagannath Swami ki.
Jai!
Even the Mohammedans remember this from their ancestors, so they're very favorable towards Lord Jagannath. And you see, when they have their new harvest, they'll bring here to offer some grains to Jagannath. They sometimes bring new festivals that also help. They know, they respect the potency of Lord Jagannath, how he saved them, and also that he's also, Jagannath is a no-nonsense person. He's the complete independent Lord, and he acts exactly how he wants to act. One time there was, when we were building this temple, construction, the person who was contracted to lay this floor, he used to take home some of this marble. Every night he would take home some marble, a few slabs of marble. And the other local people told him, you be careful, Jagannath is very special sometimes. One night he had a dream, and Lord Jagannath appeared to him very, very angry. He said, "You rascal, what do you think you're doing stealing from my temple? This is my temple, you're trying to enjoy my property? I'll kill your whole family, you'll all be destroyed, you return out immediately, otherwise you'll be finished." "Yes, I promise. Next day he bought his bullock cart, returned all the marble here, and then he sold it, paid his businesses. Another girl was showing her feet, young girl was showing her soles of her feet to the deity, and the other children, they were playing here, and the other children said, don't, this is taqwa." She's a Mohammedan, says, "What? We don't care about these things." But then, very soon, she got disease in her feet and her legs. And to this day, she still walks on her knees. Maybe she's from in that village. She still has to walk around on her knees now. And another time, that guide who saw that personality coming to Jagannath Temple. We just passed him when we came up the road. I don't know if you saw him. He came out to greet us. I don't know, you won't recognize him. His name is Balad. He used to be the guard here. So one day he didn't come for a few days. He was sick. Then after the third day he came, and he was doing his guard duty, and he was leaning on the side of the temple, and he was dozing, dreaming. Then in that dream, Jagannath Balaram caught hold of him and started to shake him. like the shaking like it was a devastation, that palaya was going to happen. And he said, "Why are you not coming to protect us? Huh? It's a very dangerous area, you know, we live in here. Why are you not coming? You have some little fever and you're not coming to do your service? What's going on?" He said, I promise. He came the next morning, "I promise I'll never forgive myself. Even if you don't pay me, I'm going to come." Another time he was very sick. And he was the only pujari here at that time. So after the morning program, he put the deities to rest at 1 o'clock, and he told the guide, I'm not going to wake the deities up this afternoon, I'm too sick, I have a very high fever, and so don't bother, you don't have to wake me, we'll open up later." However, when he took rest, then Jagannath appeared to him in the dream and told him, "What is this? You don't want to wake us up? You're our servant. Huh? What's going on? Your little fever? And you think you can't wake us up? You want to stop everything? You want to stop your eternal occupation? What's going on?" And he woke up and he thought, "Oh, this is..." He said, "Yes, Jagannath, I'm so sick. I'm really sick." He said, "Oh, I see you're eating. You're taking prasad, okay. You don't worry about that." "You're doing everything else, you're chanting your rounds." So then he thought, "Oh, this is what an honor, I have to get up now." But he said, "Oh, really?" He was really sick, and he fell back to sleep again. Then 4 o'clock, the door, bang, 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 on the door. It's the guard. Wake up, it's time to wake the deities. Already he told the guard not to wake him up. But he said, oh, this is too much. I really have to get up. So he got up to wake the deities. When he was in, went into the deity room, he said, then the deity spoke to him, Lord Jagannath. He said, actually, it's unlikely to do my puja. He said, you know, the other pujari, he's not very careful. He said, sometimes when he's dressing me, he sticks pins in me. He says, you see, lift up my chadar, you'll see. So he lifted up the chadar on Jagannath's arm, and he saw one spot of blood on Jagannath's arm. Jagannath Swami, keep. Another time here, the same boy was, he was sleeping, and it was just before the cold season, Odama Sasti, when we have the, when we put the new winter cloth on quilt for Lord Jagannath. It marks the beginning of the winter, but it was just before that time, but it was cold. And Pujari was sleeping, and in his dream he heard banging on his door, and he opened the door and he saw the deity, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra Devi. They were laying on the floor, on their back, shivering. And they said, you're sleeping very nicely under your quilt. You don't think we feel cold? What about us? And the dream disappeared, so we had to offer the winter quilt earlier, before the schedule.
We were given worship in the temple in, I think it was 1971, was it the Bangladesh, India? 71, yeah, they had some problem there. So here there was friction also, because seriously, surrounding areas, Muslim village, so there was a lot of friction. And the owner of the property is Pratik Chatterjee. He had, I think, 6 daughters and no sons. So he was finding it's very difficult to live here, it's very dangerous, he had so many of his daughters to protect. So he left, and he went to the other side, into the Hindu community there, and he was staying there. And after some time, the local Mohammedans came to him, and he said, we request you, please come back and stay in Srimantadeep again. And he said, how can I stay? He said, it's a very dangerous time. Any time, moment it could flare up, and what can I do? I'm there with my daughters and surrounded in the village. And he said, no, you please come back. We'll protect you. We promise you. But please come back. Because we're hearing these voices coming from your temple. They're saying, why nobody's coming in to give us any food? Why has our service stopped? We're becoming hungry and thirsty. Nobody is giving food. Please someone come and give some food. So they're requesting, you please come back and we'll give you a 24-hour guard, our own men, and we promise you that absolutely nothing will happen. So then he came back and they actually had a guard, permanent guard here for him. And another time, there was some friction, and the pujari was coming at that, because we just had started worship here. The pujari would come by bicycle and do some puja, and then he'd go back to Mayapur, because there was no facility here to stay at that time. So then the temple authority said, no, don't go out, because you have to go out, and it'll be dark when you come back, and it's very, very dangerous, and it's a very dangerous situation. You're all alone, and it's a very lonely village there. So, he was going to come back, that's right, he was going to actually sleep here, he just started to sleep here, but he would come back and forward for the boga and things like that. So he came back early evening, but they said, no, you can't go back at tonight. It's just too dangerous. So then he said, okay, I'll wait till the morning. So in the morning again he came, and he said he left, 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, the previous evening. And when he came back the next morning, he said he had left a little candle, you know, one of those tiny little candles about as big as a small finger. He had left it alight. And he said it was a book there also, a small book. And he said in the morning when he got there, he said that the book had burned also. He said, but the light was still there. He said it was a tiny little candle and the book. It had lasted the whole night and the light was still there in the morning. He said, perhaps Saganath was waiting for me to come back. He didn't put the light out. So when we were given the worship of Lord Jagannath, so there was no facility here, so we would cook what we were cooking for Radha Madhava, and then we would put some in a tiffin, and Pujari would come by bicycle, and he would make an offering here. So every day it was the beginning, so at least Jagannath wasn't getting anything, you know, some batasha sweet or something maybe. So at least we'd give him one Rajbhog offering every day, hot meal, rice, until we get more established. So Pujari was coming in to do this, just so at noontime every day he would come make an offering of Jagannath, rice, dal, sabjis, etc. Then that was it for the day. He would go back. And Jayapataka Maharaj, who was overseeing the temple, in fact he was approached to take the temple by the owner of the temple, and he said there's some problem there, because there's still a little bit of a technical legal thing happening in the temple, so don't fully start any worship, because if you do that and then somehow or another the legal thing is not in our favor and then we have to stop the worship, it'll be, you know, Jagannath's waited so long and he's not been given proper treatment or food. We've been given nice meals and everything, and then we have to stop again. That would be really bad. So don't start anything until we're positive we got that. Well, he said, okay. He didn't know we had already started, but we had already been starting that program of offering Rajbhog every day. So then we didn't stop. We stopped the offering the Rajbhog. So then the night, the Pujari had a so-called dream, or I don't know who the Pujari was. It may have been Jayapataka Maharaj, because the story came from him. But he never revealed who it was. He said it was the Pujari, but he was also a Pujari sometimes. But he said that they came to the temple to wake the deities up in the morning, and they opened the doors and Jagannath wasn't there. Where is Jagannath? Balaram Subhadra, where are they? Then he was looking around and he looked over and he saw Jagannath and Balaram Subhadra running across the fields there. He said, hey, Jagannath, come back, where are you going? They said, no, we're not coming here, we're going down to see Radha Madhava's temple. You get some nice Rajbhog prasad, they're not giving us any prasad here. Don't wait for us. They ran down there to get prasad. So again, Jayapataka immediately stopped that program. Again. Don't discontinue it, Jagannath is very hungry. Another time it was Rath Yatra festival and we were distributing some khichdi or prasad. So devotees, people were coming and it was on a little plate, leaf plate, they were giving some prasad. So one devotee came in and he took some prasad and he said, give me more, my friend is outside. So he took two little plates. So he went outside and he gave to his friend. He was a rickshaw driver. So he gave one to his friend. He said, here's Jagannath Mahaprasad. So his friend was Muslim. And he said, you know, what is this prasad? You know, we don't worship these idols, you know. we can't take this prasad here. It's just, you know, it's idol worship. So he threw the prasad down on the floor. So that night, Lord Balaram appeared to him in a dream. And he gently woke him up with his hands around his throat. He was throttling him and shaking him like this. He said, "Why you have disrespected my brother's prasadam? Don't you know you worship my brother? That is the way of worshipping Jagannath, by honoring prasad. And you threw it on the ground? You have disrespected my brother. I will kill you." And she was shaking. And Subhadra there, she was laughing. She was going, "Ha ha ha, kill him, kill him, kill him." But merciful Lord Jagannath, "No, no, 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 don't kill him, don't kill him." But merciful Lord Jagannath, "No, no, 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 don't kill him, don't kill him." So he woke up in the morning and all of his neck was red from the Balaram's exhibition of his Kshatriya mood. So he came to the temple and he gave the pujari some incense and some sweet and flowers and paisa, and he said, "Please, you can offer for Lord Jagannath." Pujari said, "You're a Muslim, usually you're not coming and worshipping, nobody's offering these things. Why are you offering today?" Then he explained to him his dream. Then he said, "Now you will please give me some Jagannath Mahaprasad. I will Jagannath Swami ki."
There was one family living here, and they had a very young son, and one day he came to the temple, the old temple, and he was looking, taking darshan, and Subhadra had a very pretty brooch pendant, so he thought, "That's very nice, very attractive, I'd like that." So he's looking around, very quiet, no one here, no doors, the doors are open, so. "That looks very nice, I keep that." He told this story, he told his mother. They come running to his mother, crying. "Oh, he's hysterical." She said, "What happened, what happened, what happened?" He said, "Oh, no, they did this, did this." "Father, calm down, what happened, what happened?" He said, I was just going to... "I saw such a nice brooch on Subhadra. He said, I wanted it." So I crept in, very quietly. No one there. He said, and I reached out. "I was just going to take that brooch." He said, then Balaram swung his arm and struck my face. Mother said, "You're mad, you're mad." "No, no, no, it happened." Tan Pujari was dressing the deity. He put three necklaces on Jagannath and he put the fourth necklace and that fell down on the floor. So he picked it up and put it on again. Again it fell down. He picked it up, put it on again, it fell down. Picked it up again, he put it on, and Jagannath spoke to him. He said, "I don't want any more. Don't you understand? Three is enough. I don't want more."
So, when we were first making the offerings here, our first pujari was Anakudamdi Prabhu, I don't know if you mind, very tall devotee from England. So he came up on the bicycle, and the old temple was under the big banyan tree there. It was really broken down. So he put the offering, and he put the plate out, rice, sabji dal, everything like that. And then he realized he forgot to bring the tulsi leaves. So he's thinking that Krishna, he doesn't like to accept anything without tulsi leaves, so what can I do? I know there is some tulsi trees near here, but if I go, because the door was broken down and it was and there were dogs around and kids were playing. He said, supposing they come in, the dogs come in or something, or the kids come in and they spoil all the offering. He said, I'd better stay here and guard it, and I'll just pray that Lord Jagannath would accept it without the torsi leaf and forgive me for that, I forgot to bring. So he made the offering, he come outside to chant the Gayatri Mantras, etc. So after the allotted time was up, and he went back in again to take the bhog offering off and do the artik, and in the rice, there was a pile of rice in the middle, and then stuck right in the middle of the rice was a big tulsi branch like that. Whole branch of tulsi was there. Jagannath Swami ki.
Another time devotee, Satsadhana, he went to Krishnanagar and he was coming back and he said, I had this desire to see Lord Jagannath. Very strong. He said, unusual for me. I really felt, I had a great devotional mood come over me. Very unusual. So he told the driver, quick, go to Jagannath temple. It's almost 1 o'clock and they close at 1. I gotta have darshan. So the driver came here and so he came running to the temple, but just as he got there, he saw the pujari, locked the door, and was walking away. So he said, I didn't like him to open, tell him to open up again, because Jagannath's already taken rest, so I thought maybe, if he sees my mood, he may open. So he said, Prabhu, chance of Jagannath darshan? He's closed now, is there any way to see him before 4 o'clock? Pujari said, nah. Sleeping. So he walked off and he said, I was feeling really sad that I couldn't. He said, anyway, maybe I can see through the door, because as Janandra has explained, it was very run down, the temple. So he's looking through the cracks in the door, trying to wedge the door apart with the padlock, trying to look through. He could see a few sparks of light. That's all he could see. So he went round checking the windows. The wooden windows shattered. Laying on the floor, trying to look underneath the door. He said, I spent 20 minutes trying to get looking that I couldn't see anything. He said, then I gave up. I was really disappointed because I really wanted the Jagannath darshan. So dejected, I turned around and walked away. Then I heard a sound. So I looked around and a window was swinging open. And I went running back and the sun was shining in on Jagannath. Brother Dev, she was in running. And another time some students came here and they came to the temple in the evening and they told, we heard so much about these deities, very mystical deities, but there was no current, there was no electricity, there was one candle, and they could hardly even see what was going on. And Pujari just started arati. They was a little disappointed that, they couldn't even hardly see anything. So they said, we heard so much about this, but, there's no lights here. He said, no, we don't have a generator, load shedding. So anyway, so then they said, we left. Then they left, and then the pujari was calling, come back, come back. So they came running back, and they saw that he's offering the panchapati, this ghee lamp. When he put the ghee lamp down, then the flames started to grow big, big, big. He said there was flames coming up 1 foot high, blue flame, and the big light was everywhere. It's got a nice darshan for everyone. Jagannath Swami ki.
Pujari was here. Name was Sachinandan Das. Many of his stories come from him. He's just a simple village boy, but he just loved kirtan. At any moment he would pick up madanga, and beautiful singing would just always be kirtan. And somehow or another, Jagannath was so attracted to him, he manifested him so many times to this point. So this time, he appeared in his dream. And he said, when you put us to rest at night, you see the small vigrahas of Jagannath, the small beds and at the back, and at night time they put them in the bed. So Jagannath appeared in a dream and he said, when you put us in the bed, you pick us up. You pick us up like with two hands. You hold your hands and your fingers touch our eyes. You know, it's nice. This is not good finger. It's the most auspicious, actually. And you pick us up in such a way that your finger touches our eyes like this. So he woke up in the morning and it was a dream. And anyway, he forgot about it. But sometime later, and he was actually putting the deities to rest, and he was carrying Jagannath to his bed. He was holding Jagannath in the same way. And Jagannath spoke to him. He said, I told you not to use these two fingers. Put Jagannath down. I said, how can Jagannath say that? Don't touch me with these two fingers, because he doesn't have any hands. He said, he does. He does. When he appeared, he said, to him he had hands. Jagannath Swami ki. There's also some Govardhan Shila here by Lord Balaram and some Shalagram Shilas. And actually Nitai Chamaraj bought these and he left them here for some time. Anyway, we were worshipping after some time. Lord Jagannath spoke to his pujari and he said that, you know, ever since Giriraj has been here, he said he's been taking all the bhoga. He said he doesn't even wait for it to be offered. He said as soon as it comes in, he starts to eat it. And especially he likes the sweets. And he's so quick, immediately he snatches all these sweets. Do something about this, Giriraj. Jagannath Swami ki.
A little while ago, the pujari here, someone wanted to do some service, so he said, for the small deities, you can make some silver crowns. So he gave the size of the crowns, and then he told us we're going to have, making some silver crowns, so we said, no silver crowns, we don't want a lot of opulence here. Actually, that was Prabhupada's instruction to us. He said, and even in Mayapur, he said, don't make the deities too opulent, you'll just attract thieves. So we said, don't put a lot here, it's a very remote place. So he said, well, that person, you know, was really wanted to do some service. He said, can he do it for the Shaligrams instead? We said, okay, you can make silver crowns for the Shaligrams. They're only 1 inch. So he gave him he told him the story, he said, but anyway, you can do this. So he gave him the size of the crown for the Shaligram. And get it go. There's three there. So when the devotee, he gave them measurements, he had the crowns made, he brought them back, he put them on and they just fell right over. It was far too big. Then he put them on Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, exactly the same size. he has his program, we have ours. There's a very nice jackfruit tree over this side. Actually, this is the same story happened in Puri. One day, the farmer, he saw two boys. One boy was up the tree, one boy was down, and he was passing this big jackfruit down, ripe jackfruit. So he called out, hey, stop, stop, stop! Stop that, you rascals! And he's running, and the two boys ran over here, and he came chasing behind them, and he came running in, and in temple, and the puja, he was sitting there. He said, where are they? Where are they? He said, what, who? Two little boys! Just come running through here. He said, no one came through here. I just saw two boys come running right past here. No one came here. One was dark complexion, one was light. You didn't see them? He said, no one came here. Then he said, yeah. He said, I chased. He said, look, and one of them tore his cloth on the tree. Here, I've got this cloth. Let me see that. Hey, that's Jagannath's cloth. He went in there and matched that. There's a piece missing the Jagannath's cloth. Then on the side, that side, they found a big jackfruit sitting there.
That's great.
One, in the old temple, there's one of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers here, one Damodar Maharaj. So he told us, he was here in the old temple, the Pujari was taking some bhog in for the Jagannath, and it wasn't covered. And as he walked in, something fell from the ceiling onto the plate. He said, I saw that, I noticed that. He used to be a priest. So I didn't say anything. And there was dogs and things around. He said, I didn't say anything. He said, but after the arati, he said, some little widow come up, dressed in white cloth, and she chastised him like anything. She really gave that Pujari the sauce. What do you think you're doing? You're offering Jagannath impure things. You know who you're dealing with. It's the Supreme Personality of God. You must be very careful. Don't you know what you're doing? And Pujari didn't know what was going on because he never knew that happened. He was scratching his head and this little lady was chastising him. Be very careful. You're offering him impure things. You must be very, very careful in future. So he said example that Jesus, don't you see these things going on? There's dogs around. Things are falling from the door onto the boga. You don't know these things? But he said there was nobody around. He was the only person around. He said there was no one there at that time. So he told us that in the Holy Dharam, then there's many great personalities walking around incognito. And was another, connection with this, not Jagannath, but this, a similar story where from the Chaitanya Mat, Bhaktisiddhanta's Mat, Bhaktisiddhanta was leaving one night and walking down towards the Ghat, our place, and one of his disciples followed him, because it was night time, you don't usually go out at night, so, and that Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada turned around and said, who's that? He told him, it's me, Guru Maharaj. So he said, come. They're walking down the road towards our temple. He said, and his ecstatic Sankirtan party was coming. When they reached, he said, they all, with Bhaktisiddhanta, they embraced him, one by one they embraced him, and they were crying, tears were falling, and they were falling on the ground. And then they passed by after that. He said, Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, Guru Maharaj turned to me and said, this Sankirtan party has come from Swargalok, Shwetadweep. He said, come to take darshan of the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. Jai Sri Maya Pandham ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Pankajangri Prabhu, Jananivas Prabhu, thank you very much. You have filled the devotees' hearts in the great joy of Hari Katha. This is the island of Simantadweep. Sri Nityananda Prabhu tells the story of how this name has come. In the age of Satya, Lord Shiva was seen by Parvati dancing in ecstasy, limbs trembling, tears flowing from his eyes. He was dancing wild like a madman. She had never seen him in this state before. And all the while, he was crying out very loudly, Gauranga, Gauranga! His matted hair was flying all directions. His clothes had fallen off. He was just dancing, dancing, jumping, leaping, chanting, Gauranga, Gauranga! Gauranga, Gauranga! Gauranga, Gauranga! Parvati inquired, who is Gauranga? I've never seen you like this before, my dear husband. I'm always busy keeping people entrapped in the bondage of material illusion. Hearing you chanting the name of Gauranga has melted my heart like it's never been melted before. Please tell me, who is Gauranga? Lord Shiva replied that you are a expansion of Sri Radharani of the spiritual world. Today I will tell you the greatest of all secrets. In the age of Kali, Krishna appears with the sentiment and the love of his consort, Srimati Radharani, into this world. And he spreads pure love of God to everyone and anyone without making any discrimination. He's the most merciful of all incarnations because he is giving freely love of God simply through chanting of the holy names. Hare
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare.
Whoever does not drown in that ocean of praying is most unfortunate. Having faith in the promise that the Lord will come, I have left the city of Kashi and live in a hut on the bank of the river Ganga in Mayapur Dham. And there I constantly meditate on the golden form of Sri Mahaprabhu and chant his holy names. Golanga!
Golanga! Golanga! Golanga! Mahaprabhu!
Parvati came to Navadvip, to the place where we are sitting today, Simantadvip. Here, she performed tapasya, meditating on the golden form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, constantly chanting his holy names with such intense devotion. Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu appeared before her. His beautiful golden form, lotus-like eyes, black hair curling around his moon-like face, his long arms raised in the air, in the ecstasy he was chanting the holy names of With his voice choked up in love, he asked Parvati, "My dear, why have you come here?" The goddess Parvati replied that you have come to this world to absorb everyone in your transcendental lila. I alone have been deceived, because you have given me the mission to keep the fallen souls away from your lila. I am Maya. According to your own instructions, wherever there is Krishna, there is no Maya, and wherever there is Maya, there is no Krishna. I have to play the role of being Maya Devi. I'm keeping everyone away from your abode. What a thankless task. When will I be able to experience the nectar of your transcendental pastimes, my Lord? Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, very pleased, he told Parvati that you are a plenary expansion of Srimati Radharani. My potency has two features. The internal potency is making all the arrangements for the pastimes in the spiritual world, and the external potency is keeping people who are envious of me bound to the miseries of the material world. Although this energy is one, it takes these two forms. I give you the benediction that in Vrindavan, you appear as my Yogamaya potency, Purnamasi. And in Mayapur Dham, you will eternally have two forms, as Prodamaya, the protectress of the holy Dham, and as the goddess of Simantadweep. So Parvati, by the blessings of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is eternally residing here, meditating on the transcendental lila of the Lord and chanting his holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Before the Lord left, she took the dust from his lotus feet and put it in her simanta, the part in the middle of her hair. And because she took the dust of the lotus feet in this way, from that day it has been called Simantadweep. So we should know in this very holy dham, every particle of dust is actually the dust from the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his divine associates. When the dust goes into our face, into our lungs, when we're on the dusty roads and it's covering our body, rather than being in anxiety, we should be in bliss. It's very purifying. One time some devotees offered their prostrated obeisances to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And when they got up, they started wiping the dust off their clothes and their hair and their foreheads and everything like that. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, "What are you doing? Do you not understand the wealth that you're just throwing away? You're just brushing away? Any particle of this dust is more precious than all the jewels and the treasures of Indra, Vayu, Agni, all the kings of this world. All that wealth put together does not equal one grain of sand of Navadvip Dham. And now your body is bathing in that great wealth of Chintamani, and you are wiping it away like ordinary dirt." He said the street sweepers of the holy Dham are most fortunate because their body is always bathed with the purifying dust of the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So everything is understood according to our perceptions. If our perceptions are according to the revealed scriptures, then we see the truth. If it is according to our imperfect sense perception, our mind and senses, then we will remain in illusion. In Braj Parikrama, people get thorns in their feet, and it's very troublesome. You have to stop and take it out. Sometimes it goes so deep that you need knives and razor blades and all other instruments to get it out. But one great Vaishnav, he has written that the bliss of impersonal liberation multiplied by 10 million times is not even a fraction of the pleasure one receives by getting a thorn of braja into one's foot. So if you see it with this faith, instead of experiencing pain, you're in bliss. So we must learn to see everything according to the realizations that have been shared by the great Vaishnavas. In this way we can always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Tathena kampam susumikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipagam ridvagvakur virvatitam namaste jivetiya mukta padesudayava. Even the miseries of this world can bring us the greatest bliss and bring us closer to Krishna if with folded hands we remember him and chant his holy names.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
will go to Sridhar Angam, where Kolavechu Sridhar resided. And there we will hear about the inconceivably attractive devotional service of this great soul. We will have Harinam Sankirtan procession to Sridhar Angam.
Holiness Chandramali Maharaj narrated that beautiful story.